This hour, your phone calls for Aaron Murakami talking synchronicity. Next hour, John Geddes, the co-author of Be a Hero, The Essential Guide to Active Shooter Events. There's a rather apocalyptic cloud looming over a Brazilian town. It was videotaped. Images are flooding social media. This happened Thursday evening as residents of this town stepped outside to view a bizarre and rather menacing-looking cloud, looking like something out of a sci-fi flick. The unusual formation lasted for only about 4 minutes. And our webmaster, Sean Latasore, has posted the video in the carousel up at coasttocoastam.com. Be sure to check it out. Your tales of synchronicity for Aaron Murakami when Coast to Coast AM continues right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett coming to you live from Coast Toronto, Canada. Affiliate Talk Radio AM 640. Aaron Murakami on the line from Spokane, Washington, and his Synchronicity Handbook is available as a free download, just a short little ebook. And if you go to the website, what is the website again, Aaron? E-Media Press?
Yes, emediapress.com.
emediapress.com, and just click on the link. It's a free download. All right, interesting little quote I found from Carlos Castaneda. All of us, he wrote, whether or not we are warriors, have a cubic centimeter of chance that pops out in front of our eyes from time to time. The difference between an average man and a warrior is that the warrior is aware of this, and one of his tasks is to be alert, deliberately waiting, so that when his cubic centimeter pops out, he has the necessary speed, the prowess, to pick it up. That cubic centimeter that Carlos Castaneda is talking about, Aaron, is that synchronicity or is it something else he was on about?
I think it might be a slight little hint or nudge that's being shown to us, and most people are kind of oblivious to it. But that's, you know, in the beginning of the show when you mentioned for those who have eyes to see it, that's really the place that we want to be.
All right, let's dive into the phone calls. People have been very patient. And west of the Rockies, Howard's in Washington. Howard, good morning. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hello, Richard and Aaron.
Hello, Howard.
Hi there.
I don't know if this qualifies as real synchronicity or not. I'll let you guys be the judge of that. But last Sunday night, the guest host on this program was Connie Willis. Now, she said that she is going to go view the eclipse, and she was going to travel down to Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And this so happens that the longest period of totality in the United States is going to be exactly there. Now, when I heard that, I thought that the name, you know, kind of sounded familiar to me, so I looked it up very quickly, and I found out that at one time there was a very famous UFO incident that occurred in Hopkinsville, or right outside of it, in 1955. Now, there was a family there. It was the Sutton family that were under siege in their house by very strange alien creatures for the entire night. And it was quite a sensational thing at the time. But this is where it gets rather interesting. The night that occurred was August 21st.
Ah, the same night as the eclipse.
Same night.
So there you go.
I thought that was rather synchronous. And I think just the fact that you're having this program about this subject tonight is rather synchronous, too.
Absolutely. Howard, thank you for that.
Okay.
Well, the people that are haunted by certain numbers, is that synchronicity or is there something else at play there? For example, for me, it's a 1010. I worked at a radio station. The frequency was 1010. My boys were twin boys born October 10th, 10 minutes after 10, and mom and dad met at 1010. Other people, it's 1111 or 1212. Being haunted by numbers everywhere you look, is that synchronicity or is that an entirely different field?
Actually, I think those are signs that kind of get us to start paying attention so that we start paying attention to these type of events in our lives that can bring on more synchronicity. For me, it's 11, 22, 33, and 13, which goes into a little bit of numerology. But it was actually the number 13 for me, which is what what kind of woke me up during February 1995 when I took a trip from Japan to L.A. I went there already. I was on the phone. I looked over, saw somebody that I knew from Japan, and he helped to show me where to go take the bus to Greyhound. And I'm thinking, well, when does, you know, how am I supposed to get a bus token or how do I pay for it? The moment it pops into my mind that I want to get a bus token, somebody taps me on the shoulder and I turn around and somebody asks if I want to buy a token for $2. At that very moment, you know, everything is manifesting in live streaming time as I need it. And a bus pulls up and I ask, well, how do I get to the Greyhound station? And he says, go 2 poles down and just wait for the next bus, which will be coming shortly. It was pole number 13, which didn't really strike me as being odd or anything, except just for the fact that, okay, well, it's number 13. And but I finally make it to the Greyhound station and I pay for my ticket and it was $58. 5 and 8 is 13. And the lady says, you're going to be leaving right out that gate. She pointed to it and the number 13 was circled on my ticket and it was gate number 13.
There you go.
My friend Elisa picked her and her boyfriend picked me up at the Greyhound station. We're driving to Tulare, California, where she lives. And right there on the highway is a big sign that looked like a big digital number, and it was $13 million exactly. This was Valentine's Day week, 1995. And I was convinced I'm supposed to win the lottery. We stop at the next gas station, and I buy $13 of lottery tickets. Didn't win a dime. But then when I finally got back up to Spokane, what happened was the gate that I landed in Spokane was number 13.
Of course.
So I started looking at my own life. I'm thinking, what's all this 13 business? And, of course, there was a lot of things that happened at her house, which really woke me up. It was the first time I sensed energy in my hands. I could see auras. All these other things were happening during my stay there. And, you know, I got 5 letters in my first name, 8 in my last. That's 13. I was 130 pounds at the time. I was 5'8" at the time, which is 5'8" is 13. My birthday is November 2nd, which 11/2 is 13.
Right.
And so that's really what started to prompt me to think, okay, there's, you know, something going on. I'm being shown something. I mean, there was events that led up to me going on that trip. But definitely, so see, for me, those were signs to kind of start waking me up. But some people, like we mentioned before, you know, with different instances like this having meaning, is that 13 just had the meaning to me for that particular event to kind of wake me up is how it was communicated to me.
Right, right.
You know, so.
Okay, let's grab another call here. Wildcard Line Rod is in Vancouver, Canada. Hi, Rod. Good morning. Welcome to Coast.
I'm very impressed that I got through. Aaron is bang on with so many stuff here. I ended up with synchronicity, ended up being told by a couple of specialists that I had about 6 months to live. And over the next week or so, I pondered life and ended up eventually sitting down on a bench. And suddenly, I felt this unbelievable, almost love just coming over. And I just almost immediately felt a magic about the universe. And I just began to just have control over so many different things. So I just ended up winning a car. I won a few $1,000 a couple times in the lottery. Ended up finding that if I needed something, I would it's the time factor that it's Aaron, is it not?
Yes, Aaron.
Yes, Rod. And what do you mean by time factor? From your future, for example.
Almost like the acoustic record. Mm-hmm. Feeling that you're tapping into that, but as well, just sort of seeing everything at the same time, the past, the future, the present, and being able to juggle almost sort of like an intention of what you're hoping for. But what I did find was that if I got a little too greedy or selfish or felt that I was like wanting to, more for myself than for the world, it would diminish. And
Rod, what happened with the prognosis? What happened with the medical prognosis?
That was in 1993.
There you go. Six months to live, and here we are 24 years later.
Yes, exactly. And it's a miracle. Absolute miracle. But I just wanted to actually also warn everybody that if you got to be careful, because if you want it to continue and have that magic, it's like waking up every morning at Christmas morning, but in a nice way, in a giving way. But if you start getting a little too full yourself, things can go a little bit wacky.
I've heard that. Rod, thank you for the call. Great call. East of the Rockies, Michael is in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael, good morning. Thanks for your patience.
Thank you so much. I remember a year and a half ago when Aaron was interviewed on this show, and I thought it was one of the most exciting shows ever, talking about his plasma ignition system. It could completely revolutionize the world. We haven't had a lot of synchronicity in this show in letting us know what the progress is, and that's not a criticism, because you are, without question, the most beneficial mind host that we have on Coast to Coast as far as advancing the intelligence of our discoveries on this show. Richard, so I'm not knocking you. I understand that your intent and you want to get at the subject at hand, and we love you for that. But
well, you'd like an update. Absolutely. You'd like an update on the plasma ignition system. So let's hear it.
Hold on.
Yep.
I don't want to take from this subject, so maybe you'll do that another time. But here is the thing. This is not a coincidence. A Jew is 120 times more likely to win a Nobel Prize for physics, medicine, or chemistry than a non-Jew. Now, why is that not a coincidence? Because they have a tradition, which the Chinese also have, and they are also extraordinarily good at math and science. What is the Jewish tradition? The father is the head of the home, and he is charged with the duty to teach his children at home. Now, Aaron, we are told that God has an intention for mankind. And even though human beings have their own intentions, we are also told that God's intention for mankind is not going to be overthrown by any number of human beings. The nations are as a drop in the bucket to the Lord. So here's the issue. What are we doing to move towards the ideal city, the city of God, the New Jerusalem, on coast to coast? What are we doing to take our best minds, put forward here, and move away from the satanic minds that are wanting to do on this show and everywhere else all the abominations that God says he will not allow to enter the New Jerusalem?
All right, well, we're getting a little far afield here, Michael. I appreciate the call. I don't know if you can address that at all, Aaron, but give it a shot. Otherwise, we'll move on.
Well, with the White Dragon synchronicities, and there was a lot more to that story, which I'm inspired to actually write these into the Synchronicity Handbook as time permits, to show a lot of these stories, because I think it would really inspire people, which is one of the outcomes of that is I started White Dragon Press, which was, transforming consciousness one page at a time. What is everybody else supposed to do? I don't know. I just know that I'm doing what I believe is doing God's work, which is with bringing forth energy technologies, just not for myself, but for my friends and associates who've developed them, and creating that platform to move these forward, but also to give people the tools to be able to enhance their consciousness and have a more effective method to be more productive in terms of manifesting in more effective ways. You know, if more people do that and they get more on page with that, it's automatically going to start rubbing off on people around them. You know, the so-called 100th monkey theory, or whatever you want to call it, whatever the reality is to that story, that's the idea that we're moving towards. And it's going to be through entrainment, because when there's enough people on one particular vibe in the collective unconscious, in the infinite mind, that is going to be a dominating vibration, so to speak, that other people are going to start picking up on, and it's going to be, they're going to be gravitating in that direction.
And all right, let's go to the wild card line, and Thomas is in La Jolla, California. I keep doing that. It's La Jolla, California, Thomas. My apologies.
That's okay, Richard. You know, when I moved to La Jolla, I did the same thing.
Well, I caught myself this time, thankfully.
Yeah, I pronounced it La Jolla, and then my neighbors really got on my case.
Well, I'm still not going to hear the end of it, I'm sure, but La Jolla, La Jolla.
Yeah,
all right, Thomas,
okay.
Quick question, because we're running up against a break here. So.
Okay, I wanted to ask you, Aaron, and by the way, I look forward to ordering your book. Lynn McTaggart, Rupert Sheldrake, and Dean Radin talk about retro-intention, retro-causality, and retro-synchronicity. This is the idea that you can take a past event and alter it,
yes,
rearrange it, perhaps even make it vanish or disappear. And I was wondering if you could speak about that, whether you could visualize or picturize or change the past, alter the past, make it disappear, just by holding that intention, that picturization, that visualization in mind. And again,
great.
I look forward to ordering your book, Aaron.
Thank you, Tom.
Great question, Thomas. Altering the past, my word. If we could do that.
Retro causality, I think about it a lot. In fact, I believe in Energetic Forum, which is one of my forums, I've posted on that topic years in the past. There's a couple different layers, or you would say depths of that. On the simplest one is not really anything magical, but it's a matter of perception. For example, things going on in our daily lives, there is what there is, and then there's what our carnal reasoning mind turns it into, which is the method through which we create our own worlds, by our conscious thinking mind taking whatever we were perceiving and changing it into something based on our vocabulary and our opinions and so forth. And so, you know, maybe some kid had, maybe some negative thing with their mother or father in the past. The parent didn't have any ill intent, but the child perceived it like that. And throughout their entire life, that kind of dictated how that child behaved with other people or whatever it happens to be, because the child thought that the parents had some nefarious intent with whatever situation. That's what the child turned it into. And so becoming mature enough to look back and see what really happened, you can change the past in the sense that that child can accurately see, wait, my mom or dad didn't actually do something mean or dirty to me. I just perceived it that way, and that ran my life for, 30 years, whatever it happens to be. And all it takes is to correct the perception of what happened in the past, and suddenly everything adjusts up to that point. And that
perception is reality. Perception is reality. Aaron, I got to take a time out here. We'll come back and take more calls on synchronicity. Here's Solomon Burke with a Van Morrison tune called Fast Train on Coast to Coast AM. You're all getting ready to watch the solar eclipse, of course, on Monday. You might want to think about bringing a sweater along with those special glasses, because the mercury could dip as the moon's shadow crosses the land. Millions of Americans across a 70-mile-wide corridor from Oregon to South Carolina will, of course, see the sky darken as the sun disappears from view, albeit for only a few minutes at a time. Temperatures in those areas could tumble as much as 10 degrees Fahrenheit. That's according to Paul Walker, a meteorologist with AccuWeather, Inc. in State College, Pennsylvania. Other parts of the nation will only experience a partial eclipse, so the mercury won't dip quite so much. You can read more about that story at the In the News section, coasttocoastam.com. Hey, if you like what you hear, tonight, this morning, I invite you to check out my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show. It airs Sunday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern out of Toronto on a 50,000-watt clear channel. It's a real blowtorch of a station. Zoomer Radio, AM 740. You can pick the signal up through much of the eastern United States after dark, thanks to a little atmospheric skip from Maine to Minnesota, south to the Carolinas. And we also have about 35 affiliates across North America. And we live stream on YouTube most Sundays. The YouTube channel is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Hey, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett, and please follow. Back with more of your calls for Aaron Murakami here on Coast to Coast AM. Just a reminder, coming up in the next hour, John Geddes, co-author of Be a Hero, The Essential Guide to Active Shooter Events. Aaron Murakami stays with us for a short while yet, and we go back to the phones. Wildcard line, Walter is in Graham, Washington. Good morning, Walter. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I was just, I had originally called to ask Aaron about if what he thought of intelligent design, but he already answered that about God and about intelligent design. And what I, what when this synchronicity started happening to me, it was many years ago, and I just thought it was, that's how intelligent we are, that our bodies are already supernatural. I mean, just women being able to have babies, the functions that we perform in our daily lives, we're just a supercomputer. And I thought, I mean, it would be things like take a handful of toothpicks and throw them on the ground, and it would make a design. And if you look off to your right, you'd see the exact same design. And that's not a coincidence. That's what I call the synchronicities.
That so happened to you? That's what happening to you?
It happens to me all the time, and I thought it was because we're holy. I was raised Catholic, and we're supposed to have a Holy Spirit, and I just thought that that's how intelligent we are, and we're always protected by this, like a guardian angel or something like that. But I can see what he's talking about, that if you give, but you have to be willing to give yourself, or whatever you think is causing the synchronicities, you have to be able to wake up to it and say, this is possible that this can happen. And I believe, you know, that we're in like a, I even have to give myself the benefit to say that I have the power to have a dimension of perfection where all I can do is no evil. It has to be all good. It's like infallibility. So I think his synchronicity thing, it's all like right next to God for me. I mean, I believe that humans, we have the power to have these all-knowing, all-powerful beings, but we have to give ourselves that credibility in order to get there. So that's what I like so much about his synchronicity. It all makes sense. It's like he's talking about the Ouija board. Well, what if a spirit appeared to you and said, yeah, those words were done, and I'm the one who did it, you know? So, appreciate what he's trying to do there.
Some pretty profound thoughts there, Walter. Thank you for that. Aaron, did you have any follow-up?
Yeah, I would like to make one clarification. Even though I see that the infinite intelligence of God is dictating what happens in this physical world, that I do believe that there are some evolutionary processes, whether you want to call it adaptation versus evolution or whatever it may be, but even that is dictated from the information in the collective itself. And I also believe that there has been different interventions along the way in man's development.
First-time caller, Joe is in Massachusetts. Joe, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Richard?
You are on, my friend.
Hello. I got synchronicity stories up the yin yang.
All right. You care to share one of your better ones, one of the more remarkable ones?
6 years ago, I saw Planet X. I have a crow story about crows warning us about warning me, my friends, about a calamity that befell a friend that we didn't heed. I think I might have saw the Apostle Matthew at the library the other day. Which one do you want to hear?
Well, let's hear about the crows.
Okay, I read a book, American Indian wrote the book. It was about animals, how they communicate with us. And so I was going to meet my sponsor in AA down at L Street Bathhouse in South Boston at noontime. So I went down, I was walking down, and I was going to meet him at noontime. And this crow started cawing at the top of the tree like crazy. And I'm looking at the crow, and I'm thinking of the book. And I go, it's a bunch of baloney. So I kept on walking down the street towards Kelly's Landing. And there was a late snowstorm. This was like March. So I walked around this snow pile, and there's a big crow standing right in the sidewalk in front of me. And, of course, I start thinking about the book again. So I turns around. I go back to meet my friend Danny. So he pulls up, and I get into the car. And I say half in jest to him, slow down. The crows are talking to me. Drive slow. I said, drive slow. The crows are talking to me. And I turned to look at him, and he has his hand up, and he goes, stop. And he doesn't know anything about the book or the two crows I just encountered. So he says to me, I was going down to meet you. I put a box in the trunk of the car, and closed the trunk, and three crows started cackling like crazy on a tree branch across the way from him. So I'm listening to him. He doesn't know anything about the book or anything. So the next day, I'm at an AA meeting in South Boston called the Looney Nooney, and it's always packed to the brim. But there was two seats next to me open. Synchronicity right there, no coincidence. So this friend of mine, Dave, walks in, and my cousin, Michael. And I know they're staying at a halfway house in Fields Corner. So they walk in, I raise my hand. I say, hey, there's two seats over here, come on over. So they start squeezing down the aisle towards me, and Michael's saying to David, tell him about the crow.
Oh,
tell him
no.
About the crow.
Get out of town.
And I say to myself, what the hell? They don't know what happened the previous day, right? Nothing. They don't know what happened to me the previous day. I haven't seen these two guys in, you know, a couple of weeks probably. So if Dave sits next to me, and Michael, I'm going, what the hell's going on here? So Dave goes to me, him and Jason, his roommate at the halfway house. They were on the third floor, and it was real, real hot. So they opened up all the windows. Like I say, it was early spring. And him and Jason are in the room, and guess what happens? A crow flies in to the room, lands on an alarm clock, and starts, caw, caw, caw. So this Vietnamese guy who's in the house comes running into the room, looks at the crow, and goes over and grabs it, and starts walking around the room with the crow, walking around the top floor with the crow cawing like crazy, and then eventually he lets it go.
Amazing.
Well, the calamity was this. It was David and it was Jason in that room, and two nights later, Jason died of a heroin overdose.
Oh, dear. I was going to say, depending on the culture...
Pardon me?
I was going to say, depending on the culture, a bird in the house can be either a good omen or a bad omen.
Right. Well, the crows
sorry to hear that.
To me.
They certainly were. Aaron, quick comment?
No, just, yeah, I'm sorry to hear about your friend.
That happened.
Yeah,
that's
a very powerful story.
As a young kid, and you know what happened? I'm an ex-cop. I ran halfway houses. I ran homeless shelters. And when these kids... they get sober from heroin, right? And then when they break out, they go back to their last dose. And that's what happened to Jason. But anyway.
Terrible, terrible. Joe, thank you for sharing that. Very profound story. Wildcard line, Mary is in Snowflake, Arizona. Isn't that Travis Walton's hometown, Mary? Isn't that where the big abduction took place?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Richard, for Tom Waits also.
You're welcome.
I know this is your next segment, but this man needs to be mentioned. He's just one of my favorite heroes. 12, 15 years ago, his name is Wesley Autry, I believe. He was in a New York subway taking his 8-year-old daughter to school, and a man fell off the platform, right, onto the tracks, and he just handed his daughter to this woman standing next to him, and he jumped right in and covered the man, and he managed to survive, and the man did too.
Wow,
and,
that's a hero. That's a selfless act.
Yeah, it was in synchronicity with your Carlos Castaneda, I thought, because he was a warrior right at the moment, and just didn't think about anything, and just did it, and you know, he was a tall, thin black man, and just covered this guy, and 2 inches from taking off his head.
My
and,
word.
I've always been just amazed at this man.
When you lay down your life for a stranger, that's, I mean, that's
absolutely,
just saintly,
no greater love.
That's right.
Which ties in with you, Aaron. I absolutely agree with the surrendering to God's will and all of your devotion to meditation and childlike openness to the wonder of life and never growing weary of learning keeps you so in tune. So anyway, thank you, Aaron.
Thank you,
but I had something pretty amazing, I think, that about 10 days ago, I found an old book of Nostradamus that was a condensed version from 1975 that was just a bunch of cherry-picked quatrains about the future. And whatever, there's a word mentioned in there that just kind of stuck out in my head and whatever. And then George had on a guest just a few days ago that was talking about other things, but he's an expert, I guess, about Nostradamus as well. And that morning, before that guest was on, I was in my living room, and I have all these stacks of books I don't have room for yet. And I picked up this book that was on the bottom of this stack by an author named Neil Stephenson, and it's a book called Cryptocomicon. And I had started reading about the first 3 chapters or whatever about a year ago, and then it got lost under this stack. And that morning, I just happened to pick up this book. For some reason, I picked it up out of the bottom of this thing, and right on the inside flap was this same word that was in Nostradamus, and it's the book is about the unbreakable Nazi code, and the word is Arethusa, Arethusa, and it was just so bizarre, because I remembered I'd seen it in the Nostradamus book, and it's from the first Roman numeral 1, quatrain 87. I can read it too if you want to, because it's also kind of synchronistic for the...
If it's short, please do. If it's a short one.
Yeah, it's just 4 lines. It says, Neptune shakes fire from the earth's center, causing a great earthquake in the new city. 2 great rocks make war a long time. Then Arethusa makes a new river red.
Hmm.
Which Neptune is the ruler of Pisces. But anyway, I just thought it was very bizarre.
Well, yeah, someone was trying to grab your attention.
And yours. I mean, I think it's very significant. But
no doubt,
I do appreciate, you know, all of your shows and this one, Aaron, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. Great call. Appreciate that. Let me grab another wild card line. Jeannie is in Austin, Texas. Jeannie, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much, both of y'all, for sharing your gifts. I'm blown away tonight. I never got to hear Aaron speak at all. I don't think it's coincidence that y'all played Charles Bradley and Solomon Burke during the breaks. And I'm a local musician here in Austin, Texas, and their stories have been very inspirational to me.
Oh, for sure.
And
yes.
Yes, I mean, how old they were when they made it and just the struggles they had. But anyway, I'm actually calling because when I heard Aaron speak, I was about to go to bed, and it's not a coincidence. It was just fascinating what I heard him say about everything to this point. But my dream is to perform on Saturday Night Live. I grew up watching Saturday Night Live, and you know, I feel like right now I've actually come into who I am as an artist. Finally, now I am older, also. And, you know, the techniques that Aaron was talking about, you know, I mean, I know about manifestation, but he was very deep about other things I was clueless about. But 2 months, and I actually thought I had all the time in the world to actually perform on Saturday Night Live, but 2 months ago I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, and it's very aggressive.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm definitely going to use those techniques and just, you know, I don't know what's the plan, you know, but I wanted to know if I could share my SoundCloud with your audience and you guys. And I think you know, the reason I sing is to connect with people through music and lyrics. And, you know, I sing with ache and grit, probably because of the childhood and just everything I grew up, how I grew up. But it really connects with people. And that's my dream, guys, to perform on Saturday Night Live. And I wanted to get permission if I could say my SoundCloud.
Yes, please give that to us.
Okay. It's Singing, SINGING, Lady Revolution. I'm an animal community political activist, and I have a song, a newer song called God Exists, and it's Johnny Cash inspired. And I have another song called Secrets, and that's a newer song also, and it's Jack White inspired. But I really hope
Singing Lady Revolution on SoundCloud. Singing on SoundCloud. Lady Revolution.
Yes.
All right,
thank
Jeannie. Well,
guys.
Another one of my favorite artists is from Austin, Shaky Graves.
Oh, I love Shaky. Shaky's amazing. Yes, but thank you for allowing me to just, you know, call in and speak. And I'm really humbled right now. Just so, Aaron, I think it's amazing that you're giving away all this, you know, the ebook for free. And I thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And your name is Jeannie?
Jeannie Ramirez. Yes, sir.
So, on the website, there's my Facebook page. If you send me a private message, there's something I can share with you later about something that you mentioned.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Jeannie.
Have a great night.
God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you, and fight. Fight, Jeannie. I know you will. Wow. Some amazing stories, Aaron.
Amazing people.
Have you ever thought about collecting not only, you know, your stories of synchronicity, but others, maybe the ones that the types of things that we've heard tonight? I mean, you could put together a couple of volumes on synchronicity, just sort of anecdotes.
Yeah, I think I'm getting inspired in that direction, for sure. I didn't realize this subject was so popular.
Well, it touches all of us, but most of us, well, I don't want to speak for most of us, but for me personally, I've just never been able to sort of put my finger on what it all means exactly. I'm just not at that level yet, I guess, of pattern recognition. Maybe one day before I go down for that dirt nap, I'll figure it out. But anyway, it's been a pleasure as always. I'm going to see you in a couple of weeks, just shy of a couple of weeks.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you. And I hope everybody enjoys the free book download. You know, they can scan down on that page, see some of the other work we're doing. And if anybody joins the Energy Times mailing list on emediapress.com, you know, I'll be giving some updates. There's definitely some more stuff that I want to add to that synchronicity handbook. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but I hope everybody enjoys that.
And again, they can go for the free download of the ebook, the Synchronicity Handbook. They just go to emediapress.com, emediapress.com.
Yes, absolutely.
And then the Mind Power course.
Yeah.
That's a lot more in-depth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called A Course in Mind Power, and directly under the Synchronicity Handbook, there's a special for all the listeners of Coast to Coast AM, and with a coupon code, and there's a link that goes directly to the A Course in Mind Power website. And if people just read that website alone, acourseinmindpower.com, actually, that shares some of the synchronicities that I've had, but also from the perspective of testimonials from other people who witnessed these things, and some other things that I've demonstrated to different people.
Charlie. All right, Aaron, thank you so much for hanging out again. Fire up that plasma ignition system and the jet engine. I'm coming soon. Aaron Murakami, when we come back, Be a Hero, the Essential Guide to Active Shooter Events with co-author John Geddes. Here's Dusty Springfield taking us into the break with Nowhere to Run on Coast to Coast AM.